When you think about it, Jonah is the most unlikely messenger of the Lord. I'm sure you know some of the story of Jonah. We all know about him being swallowed by a fish and living 3 days in the belly of the whale, right? We all somehow know that story. Well, the little snippet we had in the reading today doesn't tell the whole thing. You know, Jonah was asked to be a messenger, and that's the last thing he wanted to do. So he goes running, gets a boat to get as far away as he could. And you know the story. He got in the big storm, and finally they decided it was him who was the cause of the problem. They throw him overboard. Fish swallows him, and 3 days later, the fish spits him out right by the city of Nineveh. And Jonah reluctantly goes in and preaches. I don't know, if you have a chance, you might want to go to the computer and the Word on Fire, Father Robert Barron. He has a great account of this story. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it's worth listening to. But, you know, Jonah, you wouldn't think that he would be the one chosen to be the messenger of the Lord. And yet, he is. Now, some people are going to ask, well, that can't have been true. I mean, you know, 3 days in the belly of a fish and living through the whole experience. Well, I don't know that that's the right question to ask. A much more important question to ask is, what was the purpose of the story? Why was it told? And then even more important is, why did it get put into the Bible? What was behind the story? What was the message of the story? And if you look at that story, it has a lot of message to it, an important message. First of all, we just see God's care for the people. You know, that city of Nineveh, a pagan city, God cares. He wants to save them. That's the most important thing there. God cares for that people. The second thing is, he can use a very unlikely messenger. You know, any of us could be messengers for the Lord. No matter what we've done or where we've been. Another part of the story is the importance of doing God's will. And when God calls us to do something, if we don't do it, the chaos that is told about in that story begins to touch our lives and the lives of others. When we follow, great power can be unleashed when we follow the will of God. Father Robert Barron has a good point there. He says, you know, imagine walking through Chicago today with the message of repent. How many would listen? And yet, Jonah goes through this large city. 3 days, it says, to walk through it, proclaiming a message, and by the power of the Word of God, the people turn their lives around. And that's his point. When we do the will of God, great power is unleashed, and we can do unlikely things. The other thing there is, you know how the fish spits old Jonah up on the shore there, right by Nineveh? God's in charge. Even when we don't do the will of God, God has a way of manipulating things so that what he wants done is going to get done. We can't run from God. No matter where I go or what I do, God is there. And he can even change the events of life in a way that what he needs to have happen can be made to happen. What I'd like to focus on, though, this morning is more that concept of being called. Jonah was called. But if we go to the gospel reading, we see call again. This time, two sets of brothers. Andrew and Peter, James and John. And what I want to point out about that calling is the decisiveness of the call. In other words, when they are called, they are to answer. And that is to be a decisive response. You know, you don't see any dilly-dallying around. It says they left their nets. They abandoned their nets and they followed Jesus. It says they left their father along with the hired hands and they followed Jesus. Following Jesus is like that. It is a decisive event. We either follow him or we do not follow him. You know, so often we want to make it, well, maybe, yes, I'll do that sometime when I get around to it, when it's convenient, when it's comfortable. No. That gospel reading makes it abundantly clear that we follow Jesus with a total commitment of our lives. When I follow him, when I decide to be his disciple, everything else is of less importance. That is the most important calling in our lives, to follow him to eternal life. And that involves a total change of life. It means we live our lives trying to follow his law of love, his law of self-giving. And that is total commitment. It is not when I feel like it, when it's comfortable for me, when it's convenient. I think that's what St. Paul is really trying to say in that second reading. Right at the end of that reading, he says, the world as we know it is passing away. And that's why the one who buys should act as if he does not own. The one who rejoices should act as he is not rejoicing. Because this world is temporary. It's going to go away. And if we invest ourselves totally in the things of this world, in the end, we're going to lose them. The only thing worthy of investing our lives totally is Christ Jesus, because he is the only one that can bring us to the fullness of life. I think that's the overwhelming message of the readings today. When Jesus calls us, and he has called each and every one of us in baptism, we have to ask, how am I responding? Is it with the total gift of myself? Or is it partial? Is it half-hearted? Is it maybe someday? When Jesus calls, he wants a total decision. He wants the commitment of our lives.